prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. That's Pastor Jeff. I'm Pastor Dave. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas. Welcome.
Thanks for being here today with us. Should wives and slaves submit? This is what we're talking about today. We get a lot of questions. I get a lot of questions about, you know, the Bible says slavery's okay and the slave should submit.
That story, that old story.
And we've done a whole show a couple times on slavery in the Old Testament and what slavery was 2,000 years ago and how it was so different than what we think.
Right.
When we say the word slavery, it's not even really the same thing.
You know, I mean, to be totally honest with you, and I'm probably jumping ahead there, but maybe not. We, as people, should submit to one another, period. You know, so show's over.
Dave, move on. Well, so much of a fanfare.
Recorded that in the shower, didn't you?
In the shower. Right. So anyway, so much for the fanfare. We're going to eventually build up to that in the show sometime later.
I killed it.
But we're going to talk.
We got another show around here somewhere.
We're going to talk about wives. We're going to talk about slaves. Because people do have this question like, okay, even if slavery is different 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago than it was in America, like why does the Bible require these people to submit to someone else? And why does the Bible require women to submit to a husband? Mm-hmm. Like, what's up with this? The Bible is just written by powerful, rich, white men.
Right.
And they're trying to dominate everyone else.
Yeah.
And so that,
Thank you.
So we're going to get into that today because it's a serious question. I mean, if the Bible really is just all about, hey, everyone should submit to men, you know, especially like the white man. And I mean, that's not moral. Or good?
No,
at all. So we want to figure this out, Dave. I was telling you the other day in a sermon about how I went to a casino with my wife when she had to go for her job. I don't actually gamble.
Right.
This was years and years ago. She had to go for a job, and I thought, you know what? We're gonna spend like 20 or 30 bucks. We're just going to spend some money there at the casino. Not very much. This is God's money. But so I went to the blackjack table and it was like 30 minutes. The money was gone. But there was 4 hours before we had to leave yet.
Oh, no.
Because we had to wait. It was part of our job to take these people there. And so we had 4 hours. So I go to my wife and I like something in my brain crashed and I just went. I was like, I know I can win. Give me more money.
Oh, no.
And I just like, give me more money. Yeah. I can do it. And I wanted more, and she refused.
Right.
She refused. Like, I was just trying to win the argument because I figured out how to gamble and win. I totally realized I was an addict at that moment. It only took me like 30 minutes to become addicted to gambling.
Now, I'm not gonna lie to you. It felt good.
But at that point, we know things have to change.
Right.
And a lot of times, people are trying to win arguments.
Right. How many broke people do you think get it figured out?
Gambling?
Yeah, they walk away out of there broke. Like, right. I thought I had it figured out.
Oh, I got it figured out now that I lost all my money. Right. But you look, we're going to talk a lot about marriage today.
Mm-hmm.
This will apply to slavery too. But really, you know, there's a lot, so many reasons people get divorced. And we're going to think about like why people get divorced, how marriages should work better. The top 10 reasons for divorce given are often infidelity, communication breakdown, physical or emotional abuse, financial issues, sexual incompatibility, boredom, religious strains, child rearing, addiction, differences in priorities. Lots of different reasons people give for divorce. But Dave, let's read about marriage. We're going to read about submission in 1 Peter chapter 3 and see what on earth God's actually trying to say.
All right. He says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives.
Okay, so there we have it. Women, be submissive.
Okay, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives.
Okay, let's skip down a little bit. Let's go to like verse 5 or something
like that. For this is the way of the holy women of the past.
Oh, that's how holy women are.
Who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. Okay? They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear.
Okay, now we're going to read further on later in the show. Don't go anywhere yet. Right there in verse 1, it says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And we immediately think, okay, so a wife's vote doesn't count.
Right.
Submission is something that a wife does to the husband, not the other way around. She's bound to it, you know, and but it's important to note in verse 1 and 2, it says, why? It says, be submissive so that, what's it say there, Davey?
It says, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives.
Okay, so the reason, the only reason given in this particular verse for the submission is so that non-Christian husbands may become Christians.
Aha.
Now, this tells us at least two things. It tells us that, number one, the wife's main goal in life, really one of them, is to help convert the husband to Christianity, to show him what Jesus' life
okay.
like. And number two is if the husband is a Christian, she doesn't need to submit.
What?
Well, isn't that what it says? Okay, that's a superficial reading of the verse. Okay, those two things that I just said aren't really there.
Freaking me out,
but
man.
But you could get that. Okay, we're gonna actually what we're gonna do is we're gonna go in a little deeper here, and we're gonna try to understand what it's actually saying. Okay, that verse 3 and 4 that you read, it talked about your beauty should not come from the outside but from the inside. Mm-hmm. Verses 5 and 6 talked about the women in the past put their hope in God and submitted to their husbands. Okay, their hope wasn't in their life on earth. Their hope wasn't in a perfect marriage. Their hope was in God. And God was the master over us. So single women, take note of that. Right? God's the master over us, not a husband. And then in verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate. I literally have to be considerate. We get down to verse 7c. It says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is what it boils down to for a man. If I'm not watching out for my wife who needs my help, God will not be watching over me. Now, what do we see with all these verses? Because there's a big conglomeration of verses in here. It's all about what?
It's all about
overarching theme, a reason why Peter chose to write all these things.
It's all about God.
Well, was Peter extremely ADD here? Or he had one sentence that he changed topics on like 20 times?
Yeah.
Listen. Before he talks to husbands or wives, Peter says this.
Submit yourselves to the Lord for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors.
Okay, so we have to submit to kings and governors.
Yeah.
What's the next verse there say?
Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone.
Okay, so it's saying show proper respect to everyone. Submit to other people. Then in verse 18 it says,
slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh.
Okay, and then after that, he talks about husbands and wives submitting. So, and then later on in his book, he says in first chapter 4,
says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. I really did jump ahead earlier, didn't I?
Yes, and then in chapter 5, Peter says this.
Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older.
Ah, they're submissive.
Jeff, you hear what they're saying to you?
What?
About you and me.
You think
submit
I'm
to those who are older.
I'm supposed to submit to you?
All of you clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, the entire book of First Peter is about submission.
Gotcha.
Let me say that again. The entire book of First Peter is about submission. Hey guys, you have kings, submit to them. You have other rulers, submit to them. You have a boss, submit to them. If you're a slave, you have a master, submit to them. If you're a wife, submit to your husband. Your husband, submit to them. If you're young, submit to people who are older than you. It's the whole book is about submission. He even goes and he says, whatever gift you have, it is there for other people's benefit. That was chapter 4, verse 10, right? And this is, how does Peter know this? Why does Peter believe this? Because that's what Jesus taught. Look at Matthew chapter 20.
All right, verses 25 and 27. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave.
Okay, he says the Gentiles rulers lord it over them. My wife likes that phrase. She thinks it's a funny phrase.
Yeah.
So every once in a while when I'm like, hey, will you go do that? She'd be like, hey, stop lording it over me. And she just like thinks she's hilarious. It's hilarious. Anyway, lord it over. It's a Greek phrase. It's a Greek way of saying exercise authority in a really strong way.
Right.
So you're going to lord it over someone. It's not just being in charge, but it's being in charge and you're enjoying the fact that you're in charge. Mm-hmm. You got the power. You're looking down on people. The very same phrase, lord it over, is the one that Peter uses in his book, except he says teachers and pastors should not lord their authority over other people. Obviously, Peter is thinking about what Jesus said when he gives these instructions. He says, hey, don't lord your authority over people. However, in Jesus' time, nearly every government back then, except for the Jewish government, was some form of dictatorship. The leadership says, do this, and the people have no choice. Jesus is setting up this picture of rulers versus subjects that he doesn't like. This idea of lording it over people. It's not that Jesus is against hierarchies. Mm-hmm. He's not. I mean, in fact, he sets them up. But what he does not like is when people assume that a hierarchy is an excuse to abuse power.
Right.
Right. To subjugate those under you. This is what everyone thinks. If I'm in leadership, I'm better.
Oh, yeah.
If I can get in a power position, then those people have to obey me.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that right?
All right. In fact, okay, look, the reason Jesus is talking about this is because a couple of his disciples came and said to him, hey, can we be an authority over other disciples?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer is like, sure, but not like you think. In verse 26 and 27, he says it this way.
Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave.
Whoa. Dave, can you read that again, but a lot slower?
Whoever wants to become...
Not like super slow, just medium slow.
Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave.
So when the Bible is talking about, hey, slaves, submit to your masters. Mm-hmm. Hey, wives, submit to your husbands. Hey, husbands, submit to your wives. It's not saying submitting is a bad thing. Someone's going to be able to dominate you. Jesus himself is saying, you want to be great? In the kingdom of God, what greatness is when you become a slave to someone else so you can serve them with your whole entire life. Submitting to others, being a slave. So you see, we got to reverse the way we think about submission. Submission is good, and being served is not our goal. Our goal in life is not to be served. It's so many people in the world, not Christians, but in the world have this backwards. They think the goal in life is to get higher and higher and richer and richer so that everyone has to attend to you.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time doing that.
And a lot of energy and a lot of money. Robert Morrison says this.
The great fault, I think, in our mission is that no one likes to be second.
Dang. That's huge. No one likes to be second.
Right.
You want to be great, though? Jesus says be last. Be a slave and servant to others. It's so backwards. You know, there was someone who was coming to church here at Revolution a number of years ago, and they wanted to be on the church board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our church board is they can make decisions. They have some vision, and you know, if you're going to make a hierarchical structure, you know, they would probably be at the top there. And well, this guy wanted to be on the church board really badly.
Usually a bad sign.
Every month, he would tell me why he should be on the leadership team in the board. And he would explain how he has great knowledge and he has great vision. And he would tell me all about how he has all these great things. But you know what's funny?
Mm.
I never actually saw him being a simple servant. I never just saw him serving someone else out of the kindness of his heart where he wasn't going to get anything in return. He was just loving people and being their servant.
Right.
And that's why that guy never got on a church board.
And he probably left because he couldn't get anywhere.
He did, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here at Revolution Church and in the Christian economy of life, the way we get ahead is by loving and serving each other, not by domineering each other. Now we're going to come back and we're going to look at specifically how the wife versus husband submission should work.
Okay.
So husbands, if you want to lord it over your wives, you better listen to this next section.
I have a feeling you're luring them into a trap.
All right. So this is going to be good. We're also going to do a Bible contradiction on the other side of this. Maybe a listener question. Thanks for listening. TruthRevolution.tv is our website. What is it again?
Right, TruthRevolution.tv.
And we are from
Revolution Church. And you can get there in Salina, Kansas. And we're at Revo.Church. And you can come see us at 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 o'clock on Sundays.
That's right. Unless you listen to this later, check our service times at Revo.Church. That's Revo.Church. We'll be right back. TruthRevolution.tv. Thanks for sharing and contacting us.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of our listeners asks, I have sinned then more than anyone out there. What am I supposed to do?
Apostle Paul felt the same way. He calls himself the worst of sinners.
And reality is that sin brings death. Romans 6:19 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Here's the good news. Read Galatians 2:15 to 3:26. Here's my paraphrase. None of us, seriously, none of us can get to heaven by following the rules or doing good things.
We've done evil, so the rules basically prove how messed up we are. Mm-hmm. But we're vindicated by
faith in Jesus Christ.
Seriously, when we trust that God's promise to save us is good enough,
and we stop trying to make it to heaven ourselves, then we are saved.
When we have faith and rely on Jesus to give us forgiveness, then we are forgiven.
The law, the rules, and good deeds will never fix our sin problem. And they don't have to. Jesus already fixed it.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
All right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. You know, Revolution Church isn't the only great church in town. There's lots of them. For instance, we love Crossroads Church.
Hey, if you don't like religion or traditional church, but you know there's got to be more to life than what you've got going on right now, check us out at Crossroads Church. We're a church with a difference.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, we've got rock music, informal comfort, a bunch of broken people who are actually happy, and kicking words of life that'll set you free.
And when do you meet?
Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock.
And where can they find you?
Facebook us at Crossroads Church Salina.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life. I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. I'm back. Jeff's back. Jeff's not submitting to me, even though I'm older.
I'm submitting to you. What do you want me to do?
Give me your soda.
Here you go, Dave. It's all yours.
I don't want it. You've had your mouth on that. I don't want it.
And actually, like, four out of my six kids are sick right now, so you really don't want to drink this. But I would gladly submit, Dave. Show me it's okay. All right.
How many days of work can I miss off of that?
We're talking about submission. First of all, I really do want to show appreciation to all of you who share this on social media, who listen to the show, who are generous with your finances. There are some of you out there who give. It's a small group of you who really make the show go. Without your financial help, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Amen.
If you want to step up and make sure the show gets out there because you believe in me or you believe in Dave, you believe in this show, this mission, in teaching people the truth, you can send a donation to Revolution Church. Just make sure you mark it for radio show.
There you go.
Or you can donate online at truthrevolution.tv. And we'd love to hear from you that you appreciate the show. So thanks for that. All right. Now, we just got talking about how someone at Revolution wanted to get on the church board and they couldn't because they just weren't a servant. They weren't loving people and serving people. They just wanted power.
Right.
And well, the Bible told slaves to submit. The Bible told wives to submit. What's up with this? What does this submission really mean? So we're going to look again, although we've already defined the fact that in the book of 1 Peter, everyone's submitting to each other, right? That's the whole point of the book of 1 Peter. So if someone ever says, well, the Bible says slaves have to submit, just be like, have you ever read the book of 1 Peter, the whole book?
Right.
Because it basically says everybody has to submit. Everybody. So let's just read verse 1 and 2 again.
All right. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands.
And by the way,
husbands.
Right there when it says in the same way, it's saying in the same way that slaves should submit to a master. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives.
Okay, that word submissive is a Greek word indicating, because this was in Greek, a Greek word indicating subject yourself to. Okay, to be under the obedience. It's very interesting how we listen to Jesus talk about everyone submitting and we'll agree with a hearty yes. Like Jesus says, look, we should all submit to each other. I'm like, yes. And he says, and you should submit to God. I'm like, yes. And he goes, and people, if they love you, should submit to you. And yes. And you should submit to them. Yes. And he goes, and wives, submit to your husband. And well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Are you saying wives aren't as good as husbands?
Right.
Like all of a sudden.
Yeah, it gets twisted.
All of a sudden we're like, wait. He didn't really mean wives submit, did he? Well, it actually literally, definitely, for real, this means wives should submit to their husbands. Let your husbands lead. Let them take the reins. Wives, submit to your husbands. It says it right there. It's plain as day. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crystal clear. My wife sometimes submits to me.
What?
She allows me to make decisions. Sometimes she brings me a dinner when I'm at work so I can keep working until time for like worship practice. Right. And she just submits to me in that way. And it takes her extra work because she has to make a dinner at home. She has to put it in a dish that's portable.
Sounds like she's slaving away.
Sometimes she does. But there's three things here we have to understand. When the text also says that women should submit so that their husbands who are not Christians will believe. First, Jesus has the goal of submission for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if a wife ignores that and tries to say, husband, you're doing the wrong religion. You need to change. You need to be better. And you're not a Christian. Blah, blah, blah. She's not exemplifying submission. She's sinning in desire to make her husband better.
Right.
Second, no amount of nagging is ever going to change a guy.
Amen. Right.
Right. He may let you drag him into a church building, but his heart will not be set on fire for Jesus. Men, by and large, are sick of words. They want action. And a wife who lives a holy life will convince a man 100 times quicker than a wife who nags.
Right.
I've seen that work many times over here.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I mean, I really didn't have a wife to submit to, but my mother was constantly nagging me. Mm. How's your walk with Jesus? What are you doing this Sunday? You want to come to church? And, you know, it got annoying.
Mm-hmm. And when a man is married and he doesn't view himself as having to submit to her, and she keeps nagging him, that just makes it worse. Third, in ancient Rome, when this was written, converting to another religion was a really easy way to lose social status. You could lose friends, jobs. So this was a huge deal. So Is social status a big deal in America? Heck yeah. So you don't have to have a membership at the country club to consider your social status, right? The lowest of the low want to look good around their friends. Mm-hmm. Converting to Christianity was an easy way to get rejected and still is today. Right. And so when wives are expected to follow their husband's religion back in the day in Rome, for a wife to walk around going, my husband's wrong, was a way for him to just be disrespected mm-hmm. by everyone else. And wives don't want their husbands to be disrespected.
Right.
Wives want their husbands to be cared for people to respect them, to talk good about them. And the same thing today. A wife needs to be gentle, submissive, loving, a lovable person, as well as a loving person. So the type of beauty that makes a husband go, wow, you know what? She cares about me. She loves me. She respects me. She talks good about me to people. She submits to me. And this type of serving is where real beauty comes from.
Right. Amen.
And then we're going to get into the guys. Guys, you're not out of it yet. We're about to nail you down. Okay. We're about to nail you down. We're going to do Bible contradiction first. Right.
Bible contradiction.
All right. The Bible contradiction today. Who is the ruler of the earth?
God.
Well, let's look at this. John 12:31 says, now is the time for judgment on the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Satan is the ruler or prince of this world.
That's what it says in the Bible?
That's what it says in the Bible.
Whoa.
Wow. 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
So which one is it?
The earth is the Lord's and everything
in it. Or is it Satan's? Because it says Satan rules this world.
Well, we're gonna say he's only a prince.
Well, it says right there he's the ruler or the prince.
I'm trying to wiggle out of that.
Don't wiggle. KNIT.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Sounds like a manly thing to do.
Our cracked acronym, the K stands for knit together. And all what we want to do is not just pull one scripture out and just sit on it. Right. We want to weave all the scriptures, all the Bible together. And all throughout scripture, what we see is God is creator and the ultimate ruler everywhere. Every book we read is like that. And we constantly see Satan working on earth to pervert humanity mm-hmm. and rebel against God, right? That's all over. Yes. So I want you to imagine a prison with a powerful warden.
Okay.
Chuck Norris.
Wow.
All right. Chuck's totally in charge. He controls the bars, the gates, the doors.
Nobody ever escapes.
No one ever escapes, right? He controls who gets in and out. And then there's one charismatic inmate named Bob.
Okay.
He stirs up all the inmates. They riot. They smash things. But Chuck doesn't let him get out. Is Bob their leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. But is Chuck still ultimately in charge?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And that is how this Bible verse works. Satan, is he in charge?
Yeah.
But is God ultimately in charge?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Wow.
All right, here it comes. Men, we're coming to men.
Okay.
Wives, we're told to submit, but you're men, here we go. Verse 7a, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives.
But it says just be considerate. It doesn't say to submit.
That's what a lot of people say. It just says you don't have to submit. It just says that you have to be considerate. It says husbands right. In the same way.
Oh.
The same way.
What?
Submission, becoming a slave. He says, hey, slaves, you should submit. Hey, wives, submit. Hey, husbands, in the exact same way, I want you to consider her.
Well.
And it's, well, husbands should submit too.
Yeah.
So we say wives submit, yeah. But husbands submit too. I should be submissive to my wife. Verse 7a in the King James, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Right? You got to be understanding, sensitive, consider your wife's deepest physical and emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a master or a slave?
It sounds like somebody that is in submission.
In submission.
Not necessarily a master.
My goal is to treat you with respect with everything I do. I consider your needs and what you want. And verse 7b, actually, it's funny. It says, husbands should treat their wives with respect as the weaker partner.
Oh, yeah. That gets a lot of people ruffled up.
It does. They're like, oh, see, the Bible's calling women weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's literally referring to physical strength. It's just saying, all he's trying to say here is, okay, look, maybe you can lift more, but you need to treat her with respect as one who maybe can't lift as much as you.
Right.
So you need to consider her better than you. So that if you can lift more than her, then you need to be lifting her up. That's the reason you have the muscles.
Right on. Right?
So that you treat her with more respect, even though you think you're stronger. In the Message version, it says, be good to your husbands and wives. Husbands, be good to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them.
Ah.
Right? A word here we use is cherish them. They were cleaning the statue Michelangelo, David by Michelangelo.
Right.
This is in 2003, and there was this big debate about whether to use air to clean the dust off or whether to use slightly damp cloths. And this committee was so passionate, and they cared so much about the statue David, that one man got angry. He resigned in protest. He refused to use the water method to clean it, saying, if I use that method, I'll end up with a hunk of marble in the shape of David.
What?
Okay. Passion, right?
Uh-huh.
Like they were so passionate that they were almost like going crazy because they wanted to be so delicate and caring about how they treated. That's how we're supposed to treat wives as husbands. We're supposed to be so delicate and so caring that we are so passionate about even every little detail about how we treat our wives.
Right.
And verse D or 7D says, why do we do this? So that nothing will hinder your prayers.
Oh.
Snap.
Right.
Listen up. The Bible says, slaves submit to your master, wives submit to your husband, but husbands, you submit to your wives, and if you don't, God ain't going to listen to your prayers.
Wow.
That's big.
That's heavy.
That's really heavy. Husbands, we have a job to love, respect, submit to our wives. Mm-hmm. What is God's expectation for marriage? It's an example of servanthood and submission, just like all of us Christians submit to each other.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. So, all right. TruthRevolution.tv. Hopefully you see now that when the Bible says slaves submit and wives submit, it's not talking about some backwards morality.
Right.
It's just giving the same example that husbands are supposed to do for their wives and we're supposed to do for kings and young people for old people and every one of us for each other.
Right. And the more you know, right?
The more you know. I actually don't know that song.
No, it's just a saying. The more you know.
Wasn't it a song in like 1970s on
no
a
idea.
TV commercial?
No idea.
I'm pretty sure it is. And if I can find it and give you the link, will you link to it?
I will.
Okay, truthrevolution.tv. Go find the link so you can see I'm right and Dave's wrong.
He's not submitting to me.
And if
I'm
Dave,
old.
If Dave's right, we'll post that too. We'll just post whoever's right. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. We'd love for you to come out. We always have a good time. Learn about God together. Join us.